So let's pull in a little close if we can. Make sure there's room for others to walk through. So the church service we're going to go to is over that way, about a block or so.
Across Malcolm X Boulevard.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell them about Malcolm X Boulevard.
Sure. So this has always been Lenox Avenue, and then they changed it up to the name of Malcolm X Boulevard, who was one of several people who were looking for.
You see the two names there, one on top of the other. Malcolm X Boulevard, Lenox Avenue, one on top of the other.
Malcolm X was one of several who was very outspoken about civil rights and equal rights in a community at a time that there was not, and arguably still is not quite the same way. He went through several different phases of his life where very on it was very revolutionary and very anti-establishment, and some were considering quite violent. And then over time he began to, as he converted into Islam and became more religious and began to find different ways, he sort of became a little bit more grounded. He was killed. Still somewhat young at his prime, just like Martin Luther King Jr., who is, of course, celebrated tomorrow. He gets a full day. How are you, sir? I don't know that I have anything.
Anybody? Are they changing?
Hold on.
Thank you. Thank you, somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's like 6 miles, and like, nobody don't want to try, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's cold. No, not, it's not your fault. You just came up with somebody. Somebody
came.
I know. I'm not before you. Are they something? Anybody? Somebody's begging like that, man. Thank you. Generosity.
Lovely. From where?
But
France.
Australia.
The land under.
Yeah,
all
you
have from Australia?
Yeah.
You're going to be in the area for the whole day? What, a couple hours?
Yeah.
Have a good day. So Martin Luther King's also assassinated very young. So it was a very violent time. This is all right around, like, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy Jr. There really was this whole sort of wave of sort of liberal, culturally progressive people who were getting killed off in this country. It gives you kind of a sense of the mindset that's been here for a while. An interesting Malcolm X connection. He was actually getting interviewed down in Greenwich Village by Alex Haley, who wrote Roots. Are you familiar with Roots at all?
Yep.
Roots was really kind of innovative because it was trying to trace back a history and an ancestry that a lot of the African-American culture didn't have, because they were stolen. Their ancestors were stolen. They didn't know their names. They were given their slave names by their slave owners. Alex Haley was interviewing Malcolm X. And all during that time, to write this autobiography, the New York Police Department had bugged the room illegally and were listening in. And the cop who was listening in became a convert for Malcolm X and was like, this guy isn't violent and he's not wrong. He's looking out for the people who are justifiably having a problem. So the police officer became a supporter of Malcolm X, and I always like that story. I just want to give you a couple. So all of this area was originally in the, it was Native American and, you know, wild and free. And then the Dutch settled up here in the late 1600s, around the 1690s for a little bit. It was like farmlands. And then it really wasn't, at the turn of the century, you started getting some of the buildings up here, but it was around 1870 when the train lines come up here that you started to have this really sort of housing boom for a while, where you started getting both immigrant neighborhoods as well as very wealthy white neighborhoods coming up here during that time. And then when the subways came up here, there became a used housing build that became a housing bust. And so that you saw a little bit of a decline. A lot of the buildings got built in that were set empty for a while. And then you started to see another migration north. A lot of the African-American community was pushed up into this area. And then right around the Great Depression, this neighborhood was really hit the hardest. And so you had several demographics of both just cultural repression as well as just not having generations of financial support and wealth being built up by your previous ancestors, as well as, you know, really just cultural, it's harder to get a job, you know, if you weren't white. And that was sort of a basic reality during that progression. And so there really was a decline for a long time, and then it got a fairly bad reputation for a long period of time, and was definitely sort of demographically contained. You don't want to really go so far as to call it a prison, but they were definitely sort of forced into this neighborhood, and it became rather violent. A lot of the celebrations, of the cultural celebrations around here, are celebrating the Harlem Renaissance of the 1920s, where you had a lot of great jazz clubs and musicians that were coming up here at that time, and that was really kind of its real height before the crash of 1939. So that's some of the conflict. There's a lovely book by Ann Petrie. She was the first African-American novelist to sell over 1 million copies of her book. And she wrote a book called The Street. Now, she had grown up in Connecticut and a fair amount of comfort and wealth, and then had moved to New York to become part of the writing and the literary scene. And ended up working at a school on 116th Street and then an after-school community where she really began to see a lot of the economic struggles and the emotional and family struggles going on here, and it really kind of broke her heart. And so she wrote The Street that really deals quite a bit with both the working class, single motherhood, the dealing with masculinity and femininity, as well as just like, you know, the struggle to survive in this area. And it all takes place on 116th Street. And so I want to read you this quote from her book. Sorry, I'm pulling it off my phone here. There was a cold November wind blowing through 116th Street. It rattled the tops of the garbage cans, sucked window shades out through the top of opened windows, and set them flapping back against the windows, and it drove most of the people off the street in the block between 7th Avenue and 8th Avenue, except for a few hurried pedestrians who bent double in an effort to offer the least possible exposed surface to its violent assault. And then later she writes, she paused for a moment in the doorway to look back at 116th Street. The sun was going down in a blaze of brilliant color and bathed the street in a glow of light. It looked, she thought, like any other New York City street in a poor neighborhood, perhaps a little more than down at the heels. The windows of the houses were dustier than some of the small stores on it and the streets in other parts of the city. And there were also more children playing in the street and more people walking about aimlessly. Mm. And that kind of sets up what ends up sort of being this real sort of tragic loss as this woman and it gets taken advantage of by a lot of the other people in that community, in that building. It's Ann Petrie's The Street. Right. Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Pretty heartbreaking novel. Well, let's go to our church service
James
now.
James is reading it at the moment.
Oh, is he? Oh, good. Yeah. Excellent.